and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome back to New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Hail, hail, the gang is here. Dennis Prout, Heidi Thompson, and Shay Pataja. Welcome back, sir.
Great to be here.
Wait.
Great to be here. Thank you, Ron.
check. 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Well, it's great to be here on 7/23, 2020, Thursday. A little bit wound this morning, and why? Why, you ask? Well,
because
for
it's
a variety of reasons, because we're live on radio after
it's
all.
Thursday.
But then next week, we intend to have the Marsh Brothers in. Already interviewed them yesterday and had the most, still shaking my head early this morning, thinking about those conversations and the amount of strength, energy, focus those three bring to their business and industry, and how they benefit Traverse City as well. So this next week, we want to talk about business transitions between parents and children, and or parents and non-children, if you will, to others within that same business that they might want to transition to, and how that works. So I've been thinking about this, contemplating it for about a year now, thinking about how, you know, who can I have locally? And they immediately came to mind and have been thinking about it and finally made the phone call, and they enthusiastically said yes, especially because they know you're going to be here, Ron. Mm-hmm. They speak very highly of you.
I'll be sitting on the sidelines listening in.
Well, hopefully you'll have a question or two
as
well. Absolutely. So I'm very excited to have them in. Absolutely. And as an aside, and you, as probably many of you would guess, they spoke so highly of their father. It is just, you can tell, still helps them, helps guide them even today. And it was just motivating and fun to hear. Mm. And they've taken the business themselves to a new level. And we'll talk all about those things and some of the planning and deep thought and deep hard work that went into making that transition. But today, first of all, thank you for listening. As always, appreciate the kind comments. The increasing requirements for COVID again, I just wrote this as a note. You know, we're starting to hear these things before we get into the real subject. And did you hear, Ron, about the gentleman who, you know, we're all having to wash her hand. They want us to wash our hands all the time. Well, he washed his hands so much, Ron. How much did he wash his
hands? How much did he wash his hands?
Thank you, that he found the answers to his eighth grade quiz. Thank you. Perfect. Sounders. Perfect.
He found the answers to his eighth grade quiz. I like that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll use that sometime.
Thank you, Dave, for that. He's always the one with the most jokes, an old friend of ours. So we have, of course, joining us, as you mentioned, Heidi Thompson?
Oh, no. I don't think I should just call me Heidi.
You don't need it. It's Heidi. It's good.
Registered representative and the managing executive here at Prout Financial. And she's going to be talking about four unusual IRA issues.
Yes.
Crazy thing in 2020, and then Shay has got some great Shay stats as we reviewed earlier, so we'll hear all about that. But today, boomers, 4-8 ways coronavirus will drastically alter boomer retirements. Well, at least according to this person, Janet Novak at Forbes is saying these things. But I think the most interesting about this is the stats, and we'll cover those, how those could possibly impact you, impacts that you may already be seeing in your own retirement. Baby boomers, are those born as a definition between 1949 and?
62? Three?
Four.
Four.
64. 1964.
Wow.
You bet.
Big boom.
Yes. So how? What are these impacts? A new study from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College shows that as of 2016, even after 7 years of a bull market, 2009 was the low. Late boomers, those born in 1960 or later, had accumulated a lot less in 401k and IRA wealth than older boomers had at the same age. That's despite the fact that fewer late boomers are covered by traditional defined benefit pensions, which are those pensions that give you a monthly income at retirement, meaning they need to accumulate more, not less. Well, apparently that didn't entirely have that much of an impact. Part of the reason they wonder is if the Great Recession felt through 2000 and through 2000 and 2002 had an impact. Boomers in the middle wealth quartile, 401k participation was actually lower in 2016 than before the Great Recession. Encouragement? Try to do something, even when it's raining outside, in terms of continuing to save. The benefits of having saved too much too early may allow you to not need catch up as much. Saving, monthly. The responsibility, as much as possible, rides with us. The responsibility shift has been dramatic. Honestly, that's what I'd mentioned to the Marshes yesterday as well. Because of people's responsibility to try to make these shifts themselves, that's why we wanted to have them in, to talk about that very thing. Working longer, number two, will get harder. The Pew Research Center calculated last July that the baby boomer labor force has been shrinking by an average of about 6,000 a day. Well, there are 10,000 boomers turning 65 every day. So it's still falling quite a bit behind. But even more dramatic has been the growth in older workers who say they expect to work past age 65, even though they don't end up doing so. In a 2016, so obviously 4 years ago, Employee Benefit Research Institute survey, 54% of workers aged 55 and older said they expect to retire at age 66 or older or never. So a little more than half of workers who were 55 and older said they expected to retire at 66 or older or never. 20 years earlier, only 20% of older workers answered that way. Mm-hmm. I thought that was dramatic.
So is that because people are aging better and like to work, or because necessity probably? They just looked into the future and said, we can't retire early.
All three options. Oh, you only said two. But those two, yes. And perhaps another. They love their jobs.
Yeah.
They're still enjoying the work. And they may be forced to. Perhaps they want more time. Perhaps they don't have the garage to go to. You know, the woodworking shop.
What's interesting is look at the point's been made by comedians, a nonpartisan or bipartisan point, but if you look at the leaders in Washington, Congress, President, et cetera, mm-hmm. think of the names Pelosi, Biden, Trump, Schumer, whatever. They're all north of 75.
Yeah, mid to late 70s.
Pretty much. You think, what drives people like that who... A lot of them have money, you know. It's like, what's driving people to work into their 80s?
It's a different attitude now, and I think it's actually kind of healthy, because there are certain figures, especially in the budget business, I've heard in the past. I think Larry Burkett was one of them. Always talked about that. He said, you know, he didn't believe in retirement at all. He thought that was, you know, kind of a poor thing for an individual to do if they were actively engaged. I don't even think he used that as a qualifier on it. So for some... It's just staying active and maybe being forced to get out of bed in the morning. Warren Buffett's a great example. I keep wondering, you know, how long is he going to continue? He's mid-80s, I think. 84, 85, whatever.
Rush Limbaugh is just, I know he's in his early to mid-70s, just comes to mind. Because
is he really?
Because he now has lung cancer he's getting treated for, but he has more money than he would even imagine to know what to do with. Mm-hmm. But he gets every day, and he's still... does this kind of thing. So that has to be passion, though.
Oh,
so there are a lot of people that love what they do so much. It takes them into their 70s, even 80s.
Total joy.
Purpose. I mean, go. Having purpose.
Go,
having
go.
A purpose.
Yeah. I personally, if I'm still able to contribute to this industry, and I'm 70, oh my gosh, I really do hope I can as well. Stay involved to a certain degree.
You're not 70 not sure right now, just to clarify. Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
I am 60 right now. While lots of boomers want or need to keep working, this harsh fact hasn't changed in recent decades. When those 50 and older do lose their job, it tends to be much more difficult to get back into that same career. And or if they do, the income tends to be much lower than the previous position would have allowed. Number three, and then we'll take a break. Three, panic will doom some boomers' wealth. I would say could. The current market dive is scary for sure. The stomach-churning volatility that's typical of a bear market has been so severe this time that the drops have triggered multiple automatic trading halts. They're talking about the stock market itself, halting trading. Well, it looks like a waterfall. For those of you who have looked at the stock market, and I just pull it up on your giant computer screen there.
The 72-inch right up there on the wall, you know what I'm saying?
But if you're looking at that, it's amazing how that comes down from, I believe it was about February 12th or so was the high, about 29.5 or so in the market, to 18.5 about 1 month later. I remember looking at that when all that was going on, 321 I think was the bottom of the market. Incredible drop. Incredible. And I said to myself, if the government doesn't get involved in this, this could be very interesting indeed. Who thought that they would have come in as they did? Now, previously, it's been said, I can't testify as to the veracity of this particular statement, so be careful with this, all right? At previous time, when Obama was president, apparently it took the Fed 6 months to figure out how to, if you will, energize the economy through putting this excess dollars back in. This time, I think what I heard or read, it was 6 days and they had it done. So because they'd already done it once in terms of putting money back into the economy through the Federal Reserve, 6 days it took them to respond because of the unknowns that the market was repricing the market. The stock market was repricing itself, if you will, cutting those prices because they had no idea how that economy was going to respond.
Is that kind of a false stimulus? I mean, it's money that you said has been digitally printed in Washington, thrown out to the states to save people who are unemployed, to protect businesses from going under, and they're looking at doing it again, and there's no end in sight to the way we're dealing with coronavirus. I mean,
it does have to stop at some point,
yeah,
for sure, because the amount of debt in the economy is being reflected. All you have to do is look at the precious metals prices out there. Silver and gold, the demand, just looking at prices this morning. In fact, I said to Shay and Heidi, look at the spreads there. That's amazing what's going on between the spot price in silver and what they're asking for regular silver coinage. Just that one indicator of what the debt and its impact is having on people's confidence in our own currency. Mm. Currency issues. So
we had a strong economy, and just imagine if New York, California, Texas, everybody opened up fully. Kids were in school. Some sports were happening. Concerts were happening. Imagine what the market would be doing then.
Oh, yeah.
I have a Shay stat about the market if you want to hear it.
Let's do that because I think I can add an adjunct to that.
Okay, so the S&P 500 lost 30.43 total return percent. Sorry,
okay, say that again. What? Sorry?
The S&P 500 lost 30.43% total return for the first 56 trading days of 2020 through March 23rd of 2020. Since then, the S&P has gained 45% total return for the next 81 trading days through July 17th of 2020. The year-to-date result for the index is 0.88% total return. And that's from BTN Research.
Year to date.
The first 40 days of the market recovery from the 23rd of March was historic. They had not seen the S&P 500. I believe it was 40 days. It was either 40 or 50. I'm hedging, of course. But the first 40 days after the low, The market, the S&P, as measured by the S&P 500, had not seen that kind of an uptick since it was used as a tracking device back in 1950. That goes back.
What?
Back, back, back.
Back, 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 back.
The 6-10 best daily gains in the S&P 500 occurring between January of 2000 and December of 19 happened within 2 weeks of the worst 10 days. Had you missed all of those 10 best days, your average return on the stock market for the two decades following would have been 2.44% compared to 6.06%. So let's just say 2.5 to 6 was the difference, having missed just 10 of those best days. And they all occurred within 2 weeks of the worst 10 days. So trying to guess that, you see the fallacy, the fault line, the problem with trying to guess that right. low, impossible to do.
IRA, what is this for? What?
Unusual IRA issues for 2020,
all
just
right.
in 2020.
Because 2020, as we all know so far, is quite unique.
And so it is.
It's a nice way of saying it.
The same way they usually are. So this is an article from Ed Slott, and it was in Investment News. And so this has four different things that could come up in 2020 that might need to be treated a little differently. And he starts out with an example of IRA contributions about someone who claimed that they were going to make a 2019 contribution to their IRA. So you, in usual years, you usually have until April 15th to make that contribution to your IRA. So this individual passed away from COVID prior to April 15th, and he had never actually written that check or deposited that money into his IRA. So what do you do in this circumstance? Because he had already filed his tax return. Oh. So the ruling on that is that you have to redo your tax return, because people who have passed away can no longer make contributions to their IRA. And the reasoning from the IRS, which in this case is sort of logical,
is because they're dead? Oh, no, that's not.
Well, they have no need for a retirement fund.
So you're correct.
Well, in essence, yes, Ron, you were right on.
They can't make any more because, oh, no. So is there who handles that then? There is.
So the key is, if you're going to die and you've said that you're going to make an IRA contribution and you do die, you have to refile your taxes.
Or the person who takes care of your estate is going to have to.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yeah, thanks.
Okay.
So, however, this does not affect a spouse's ability to do a contribution based. Say they were a non-working spouse, and their spouse was the working individual, and they passed away. The spouse can still take a working spouse contribution for 2019.
So there are ways around this. So if for instance, this is her, because the guys always pass away first, right, Ron?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's say this is her in this case. She could, in essence, make that same contribution to her own IRA as long as it was within the limits.
Correct.
And, and then not have to refile taxes.
There you go.
One
there
way.
You go.
Okay.
One caution is if it is a SEP IRA. A SEP IRA is an employer plan in the eyes of the IRS. So a SEP IRA a lot of times is done by self-employed individuals. But if they have claimed that they're going to make this contribution, then that contribution still needs to be made by the business on behalf of the employee, even if they're the owner, has passed away.
So even though a dead person has no need for a retirement account, if it's a SEP account, they do.
Well, the employer's still on the hook for it, I guess. So.
Yes.
Not so much as logical, but Okay, the second one they talk about is death in the RMD year. Normally, when an IRA owner dies, the beneficiary has to take the year of death required minimum distribution if the IRA owner did not take his full RMD. So that's for now for people who are over 72, and before in 2019, that was for people who were over 70 and a half.
70 and a half.
Yeah. Correct. Ever-changing field. So if they haven't taken their RMD, what happens then?
Well, the CARES Act of 2020 eliminated RMDs for this year. So no RMD is required. So those people who used to have to take the RMD if the owner hadn't taken it themselves, they don't have to take it this year.
So in this case, for the children who are wondering, well, don't we have to still take that RMD from mom or dad because they passed away? The answer to that would be no. You don't have to take it.
So the SECURE Act, another act that went through that affected retirement accounts, which we sort of have forgotten about with all the CARES Act and the COVID, it passed back, I think, at the very end of 2019.
It did.
That this is the act we're talking about. Eliminated the stretch IRA for most non-spouse beneficiaries who inherit after 2019. So if a beneficiary inherited in 2019 or earlier and was a designated beneficiary, that beneficiary could continue the stretch for the rest of their life. However, if the beneficiary dies in 2020 this year, that is the end of the guaranteed stretch. Now that successor, that beneficiary has only 10 years to take that money out.
So there you go. The rules have changed, and they're not all the requirements exist that were once in force.
What is the stretch again?
The stretch was in for people who were 70, or for people in 2019 who were beneficiaries of an IRA.
No, I know that, but so the stretch doesn't. But what is the stretch?
The stretch means you can just take out that required minimum distribution and leave that money in there for as long as it lasts for your lifetime. Okay. So it can stretch. That's where you get the stretch from. It can stretch over your lifetime. That's no longer true with that 10-year limit. Right. It doesn't last your lifetime. You have to have that money out of that IRA or that Roth IRA within 10 years.
10 years after the date of death. So that money, it doesn't have to be a continuing distribution. It just has to be emptied by the end of the 10th year. Mm-hmm. So a very different tax, much higher tax rate in essence. And those accounts, instead of lasting 20, 30 years or more, it's 10 years now. Yes. Mm-hmm. Big difference. And that applies both to IRAs, Roth IRAs, 401ks, all the retirement accounts out there. For those who inherit, non-spouse, children generally, they have to have those emptied after the end of the 10th year.
Yep. Okay, so this is another one with the SECURE Act. With all the new post-death death rules, this one is sort of easy compared to some of the others. There was no change under the SECURE Act for non-designated beneficiaries. These non-designated beneficiary are not people such as an estate, a charity, or a non-qualifying trust. This can happen when no one is named as a beneficiary and the IRA passes to the estate. Okay? So in this case, the result is the same as before. So the rule didn't change, even though that 10-year rule went into effect for named beneficiaries. If there's not a named beneficiary, the rule for that did not get changed by the legislation. So the result is the same. If the death is before the required beginning date of that RMD, then the 5-year rule will apply. The 5-year rule means that that beneficiary, whoever receives it, will have to get the money out of the account in 5 years. Mm. If the death is on or after the required beginning date for RMDs, then the beneficiary can take payouts over what would have been the deceased IRA owner's remaining single life expectancy had he lived. So the quirky thing here, Dennis, is that if there isn't a named beneficiary, you could being end up, if you received it as the beneficiary through the estate, you could end up being able to stretch that IRA over longer than 10 years.
If you weren't named as beneficiary, which is a very risky strategy to take. Very
right,
risky.
And not recommended.
Not recommended, of course.
It would be, it's much easier and much cleaner to just have the beneficiary's names than trying to use this strategy in the effect that it would end up to the benefit of the person. So it's always a better idea to name those beneficiaries outright on the beneficiary form so you know the person that you intend to receive the funds actually receives the funds.
What I thought you were going to say is you need to consult with your financial advisor and or planner in these kinds of situations.
And that's
in
true.
Some of these rules, I'm thinking, you know, I doubt that anyone really followed this that closely. Because it is complicated, isn't
it? It is.
It truly is.
It just points that out.
And in some of these cases where it's, you know, perhaps there's some twists and turns, sometimes we call Ed Slott and Company, those people right there. All right, what's going on? Can you help us interpret this? We've done that many times as we go through these kinds of issues or situations because you don't want to mess it up.
Yep.
These things need to be gotten right. And if you can get them right, all of a sudden, you find out the limitations. You also can possibly find out the opportunities as well.
And that's one reason why in our meetings, we present our clients with a beneficiary report, which we like to review every year with them to make sure that the beneficiaries are listed as what their intent. Because, you know, things happen. People, maybe they started a trust or something and they want a different beneficiary. And that's one of those things that's easy to forget to change.
Right. Yes.
Ed Slott is the IRA king.
He
and
is.
You guys are hooked in with Ed. You're an Ed Scott. Ed Slott, what? What do you say?
Master Elite Advisors.
Both
Master
of them.
Master Elite Advisors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Master Elite Advisors.
We've joined the geekdom universe for sure. Absolutely.
Two text messages real fast.
Sure.
Says Ron, Rush is only 69 years of age, born 1951. My bad. I thought he was already into the early 70s there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But still passionate
so
at
young.
69.
He hasn't reached 72 for his required beginning date yet.
Yeah, to take his RMDs.
But to the point, working far beyond one has to for income purposes, working with a passion.
Yes. All right, number four, the cash bucket strategy will gain new fans. Holding some money, shorter term, guaranteed accounts for income so we don't get squashed, literally squashed by what's called the sequence of returns. Having to draw money from stock-based mutual funds or assets when we need it for income. We don't want to get trapped. Now, necessarily, this is going to cause lower rates of return. But you don't want to get caught retiring and not having some money that's in cash-type investments so that you don't have to take a loss when you're trying to provide income for yourself, especially when you initially retire. That's
right.
Generally where the biggest risk lies in terms of what's called the sequence of returns.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying keep a certain amount of money in
cash-type investments and or conservative investments, whether it's fixed annuities. Some people own those products that help with guaranteed income and or guaranteed principal from a variety of sources and or more conservative bond-type investments that generally don't have as much of a return but have much less risk to principal. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, surprise, cruises will fall off boomers' bucket lists.
Not shocking.
Yeah.
Not shocking.
Yeah. Who wants to be on a cruise where everyone's trapped and you're wondering when you get back to into port, right?
I tell you, some of those
fun
stories, friends of mine that were like caught overseas, you know, just the story of how they had to try to get back to the U.S. with all the changing regulations and who was allowed to fly where.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely a challenging experience.
I still have a friend who's, I wouldn't say stuck in the Philippines, but she is. they're making it very difficult to, because they're tracking so intensely to contain the virus. It's impressive. But she's from the Philippines and went back to visit her family. And she does this every 10 years, takes a big trip. But
she's stuck.
Anyways, yeah.
Yes.
Extended this time.
It's interesting that you would know someone like that, Shay. I mean, Shay knows everyone. We all know. Six, time with family will be even more important. One item that pops up at the top of many retirement lists is spending more time with family and friends. It's the leading reason people say they were pulled into retirement rather than being pushed there by ill health. I love that. Cool. And obviously, I would say one positive of this COVID thing has been the general hearing testimony, if you will, friends, clients, all the rest, the increasing importance of family.
Yep, for sure.
Grandchildren, nieces, maybe, in Shay's case. Just really enjoying those relationships more.
Good excuse to avoid them. Certain family members if you want to, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say it, but...
Yes. It's making me think of that ad. Yes, number seven, aging at home will be even more compelling. Staying at home. The average age of those seeking assisted or in going into assisted living facilities is 83 to 84.
Really?
83 to 84. But many people opting to at least try to stay at home. 53% of homeowners stay in the house they owned at 50 for the rest of their lives. At age 50.
53%?
53% stay in the home they've owned for the rest of their lives.
Amazing.
Yes, I think so. Eight, care facilities and senior housing will change. Over the past 4 years, more than 550 nursing homes have closed, bowing to rising cost, reimbursement pressures, and crucially, shrinking demand from older folks who, as noted above, want to age at home. So trying to keep those safer, in some cases perhaps even further spread out, is going to be a big part of the equation for those retiring.
More people in home means more in-home services would be should be available. And what's the
sense.
One that that you were involved with here locally?
Pavilions.
Oh, the Pavilion PACE program.
PACE, yeah. So yeah.
PACE that is aging in place at home.
You've contributed
right?
to that.
Yes.
The demand for that would increase then.
It would, and I know that they've been right on. They've been on a run in terms of getting new people signing up, wanting to be a part of that program.
Great. So just want to remind you to go on our Facebook page. Today I will post 8 ways the coronavirus will drastically alter boom retirements. Also, we're hiring. We need to fill an admin position, and so that is out there. Please look for that. Sign up for the email blast. Just go to proutfinancialdesign.com, and that's where we keep all the radio shows. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.